FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. Well, the markets have been tumultuous, to say the least. We saw Trump basically pick up all of his marbles and walk away and watched the market shatter accordingly. Well, is he coming back with a couple of marbles to play another day? Or is it just pure turmoil till the election and even thereafter? Markets anyway. Our good friend Chris Vermeulen is with us now. And Chris, always great to have you on. So what the heck is going on right now?
Good question.
I should mention the technicaltraders.com.
Right.
Get started. What's going on here? And email us with your thoughts. What's going on? KL@KerryLutz.com.
Yeah, well, it's a real crazy market. I mean, Trump is a real wild card, obviously, just with his tweets alone. I mean, a couple of days ago in the weekend from the military hospital, he says, you know, USA needs stimulus. He tells his party to make a deal happen, make things work together. And then yesterday he comes out and the next day and says there's no deal. And then he comes out the following day saying, oh, maybe we can piecemeal something together. I mean, it's all over the place and it wreaks havoc in the markets. I mean, we saw a huge reversal when he said there's no stimulus till after he gets elected. And then today the markets are up big saying maybe there's going to be a piecemeal deal put together. So it's pretty wild. It's shaking things up. But I mean, the reality is I think this market does want to go higher. If Trump gets in, I think the market's going higher. If Biden gets in, I still think it's going to go higher. Both of them are going to do things that are stimulus-based, tax cuts. All these things are good for businesses. They're good for the stock market. So I think we're going to continue to see this melt up, at least for a little bit. But no, October here going into the November elections is going to be one wild market. If you look at seasonality of what happens in October during an election year, just like this, we actually see big whipsaws on a daily basis throughout all of October. So yesterday was, I think, just one kind of move, and today's another. But overall, it's going to be a rough ride through October going into the elections with uncertainty.
So is what happened yesterday, is it just pure psychology? Or is there something fundamental at work here that we don't really appreciate?
Yesterday's selling, I think that was just a Twitter kind of surprise news. It moved the market real quick. It was just a blip on the chart and then it's wiped out again. I don't really read too far into it. It's just, I mean, you look at the markets, it's like 70%+ of all trades are systemized trading, and they're all tapped into Twitter feeds and they read the words. And the second the tweet comes out is when the market collapses. So this isn't really so much people, I think, really panicking. It's just systems and the lack of liquidity in this market. When the selling starts, there aren't really that many buyers out there. So the market collapses, but the market gets bought right back up. People are still the buy the dip mentality. And at this point it continues to keep on working. So I think that's kind of the deal right now.
So really, we're not out there like trying to promote investors to build wealth and trade properly, make suitable investments. All we care about now is just manipulating the algorithms to make things look like they're better than they are, so stock prices keep going higher. That what this game is about?
I think that's a game for big players with big money, fast connections and systems who are doing massive volume. But for the average trader, I mean, the reality is you don't really need to be gaming the system and trying to outsmart these algorithms, because those trade mega contracts lightning fast and they make a little bit of money on a ton of contracts or shares traded. It doesn't really affect us too much. I mean, you don't want to get too much on that negative side just because it takes the excitement out of the markets if you think they're fully rigged. So the automated is for big money moving big volume and they scalp the markets. But the average trader, I mean, You see, nothing has really changed. The markets have kind of always been manipulated. They always will be. And you really just got to stick with the overall trends and not work your way down to such a tiny trend that you're actually competing with these algos.
Yeah. So you have to play your own game, if you will, and you have to take a different position. And so how do you avoid butting heads with the algorithm?
Well, I think the key is to really focus on the best assets. I use a strategy called BAM, Best Asset Now. And really, we sift through the different sectors, the different markets. We find out which ones are leading the way from a momentum standpoint, percentage gain, the best technical setups. They need to have all kinds of different technicals confirming. And then those are the sectors you want to look at. And it's really interesting because this week we've got a pretty interesting scenario in the markets where the two leading sector ETFs, one of them is TAN, which is the solar stock ETF. The other is, I think it's WBP. I think I'd have to look it up, but it's both of them are up over 200% since the March lows. They make the NASDAQ look like chump change. And it's interesting because they're both clean energy. One's solar and the other one is a clean energy. So a basket of, you name it, wind companies and solar and all kinds of other things. The two worst performing sectors on my list are uranium, which to me is dangerous and dirty energy, and the energy sector stocks themselves, which is mostly oil, which is also dirty money or dirty energy. So it's really amazing that the worst performing this year are energy, dirty energy, the best performing are clean. And I saw a report talking about that the energy consumption in the United States had jumped dramatically, electricity-wise, since COVID. And I think that could be a big player of why we're seeing solar and wind electricity companies really clean up. I mean, it's kind of all coming together, but you never really know about these things until after the trend's taken place. These moves come in. It's always hindsight 2020. That's the nice thing about playing technical analysis. You can get in, you can spot these trends, and you usually find out why they've moved, you know, weeks or months later.
Yeah. So interesting, really interesting times. So we're looking at the broader market and a bit of a recovery today. Is this going to continue, or is it just going to be, I guess you said already, it's just going to be choppy trading back and forth and dangerous?
Yeah, it's going to be choppy. I mean, the key here would be to be focusing on these leading sectors. For example, yesterday, almost every sector traded lower after Trump's tweet and closed out for a negative. But the solar ETF actually closed positive, up by 1%. And another sector that is very defensive, which is utilities, it's been moving up the ranks in terms of its performance. It's starting to come back to life, and it closed positive yesterday as well. So it's pretty interesting that those two sectors continue to hold up. And that the first one is simply because there's so much upward momentum in the TAN stocks, the technology, solar, that it can buck a trend like that. And when we saw utilities break out earlier this year, that was January, they had a huge run and outperformed the rest of the markets, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, in a big way. And when utilities start to outperform, that's usually a sign that big money is moving into defensive stocks because they're preparing for some type of economic weakness or uncertainty. And I think that is just on the cusp of starting right now. Utilities have just come to life. They're starting to break out as of this week. And there's popping up the list to be a top performer.
All right. And hey, what do you make of Tesla, as long as we're talking about technology, et cetera?
I don't really follow it too much. I mean, it's a huge momentum stock. It's got a massive following. It's got a very loyal following, a lot like Apple. I mean, you either love it or you hate it type thing. And you're going to always want all their products. Hey, I mean, it's so expensive and it seems overvalued. I think there's a lot of technology and information play in there. They're not just a car company by any means. They are going to have incredible technology and data that probably they're going to be licensing out to pretty much every other car company in the future. So they're going to have a huge play. So it'll be interesting to see how it keeps going. But I mean, you can't really buck the trend at this point. It's, you know, it continues to get bought back up, and it's a growing company, huge growing company.
Yeah. And it's growing while the rest of the auto industry globally is declining. And yeah, when you see a company that's able to do that, then you know that when, assuming the economy does indeed recover, which it always has up to now, you have no reason to assume it's not. Argue about the quality of the recovery, how long it's going to take, and how long it will last. But when you see a company bucking the trend, their unit sales keep going up, their China presence now is in full swing and only expanding, and additional products, when the market actually, the economy, I should say, actually does rebound and recover, that's a stock that could really take off.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of things going for them. COVID, I think, is good for Tesla. I mean, people don't have to drive as much, and maybe they don't have to commute as often if they're going to the office fewer times a year or week or month. People don't need huge fuel tanks and don't need long range. They'll you know, buy a Tesla because they're just zipping around town now. Most of them are working from home, like a huge group. It's unbelievable the shift in how people are thinking and working and in shopping. So I think this whole wave is a huge play advantage for Tesla, because it's eliminating a lot of driving, and it means people only need a grocery get or something for just zipping around and doing, they don't need to do long hauls, right?
Hey, you know, one thing that's really interesting is new home sales, construction in places like Florida and in the South, even in the more abundant blue states, home sales have taken off. Yeah. And one thing I find interesting is that people are actually redesigning their homes with working from home in mind. I mean, the trend has always been for the past 20 or so years, office in the house and all that. But now that people have actually had to work from home, they realize that they need certain things that they didn't plan for, even if they have an office. And that's leading to like a lot of change on the home front too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's A-U-R-Y-N resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
For sure. I talked about that back in March or April. I think you and I may have even touched on it, that real estate sales had slumped back then. Obviously, everything slumped because there was a lockdown. But there was already a shift of people wanting to get out of the cities, move into the suburbs, somewhere quieter, more space away from, you know, busy traffic and
right from riots.
and they all wanted to buy a bigger home with a yard and a spare bedroom or two, because the spare bedrooms become offices. And I mean, I think I've been working from home from college. I mean, I've never had a real job where I've had to go into a factory, because I trade from home and I absolutely love it. I mean, I've got my own office here and it's soundproofed, and I mean, I absolutely love it. And everyone, I think once they get set up and they've got their comfort zone, their home office, they'll realize it's so convenient. It, as long as you can get over it. I mean, I've always done it from college, so I'm used to it. I know a lot of people love the commute. A lot of people love going to work and talking with people. I mean, but I like my little den and I like to watch the charts. It's peaceful. It's quiet. So
same here. I've been doing it for 8 years now since I became a full-time podcaster, a professional podcaster. And in some ways I miss the interaction with other people in the office, but if I want to go out, it gives you so much more flexibility. On the other hand, your hours are no longer 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Your hours are whenever you're awake. So yeah. That's the negative there. But we will We'll have to see where we go from here. Hey, so gold and silver, what's happening there? It looks like we peaked August. We've had a sideways consolidation, got slammed yesterday. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they are short term. They're in a downtrend. I mean, we could still see continued weakness here. And they're making a series of lower highs and lower lows over the past month and a half. And so that's the definition of a downtrend. And I think they're trying to find a bottom. Maybe they have, but we really need to see some type of form of a higher high and a higher low based over the last month. We need to break some previous highs to give us some upward momentum. If we do see equities, the stock market have some weakness, or we see the dollar continue to move higher because it's starting to look a little bullish, that might continue to pull on that sector. And I still have a downside target that gold could fall to 1810 and it would still be very bullish for gold. I know it's quite a ways down from where we are, but that's where the technicals are saying if we have another little washout in the market, gold could dip down there. Silver could actually dip down to around 21, maybe even $20. And that would still be seen as very bullish. They'd actually be very perfect measured moves. They'd be testing support levels. And then from there, I think they could rally back and become a leading sector going forward here with the new president and or a renewed president and uncertainty of stimulus, because all those things are still very bullish for metals longer term, because yeah. I'm definitely bullish long term.
So is this a time to accumulate, or what do you do now?
Yeah, at this time, I mean, I think if you don't have any, this is a pretty good time to get it. It's had a nice consolidation. Gold, silver, miners are in a bull market, and it's a fairly new bull market. So it should have some legs behind it for a few months to get some decent gains. My only concern is if we do get into a bear market in equities, we're going to see the metals sector correct and be under pressure during that time. So if you look forward maybe 6-8 months from now, they still may be at this level. They could even be a little bit lower. But once the market resets and cleanses itself, metals and miners are the first ones to bottom and take off, just like we saw in 2009. And that's when I think the mega rally in metals and miners are really going to take place. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't think it's here yet.
All right. Interesting. And we might well see it by the end of the year, late fourth quarter. Usually is a time where seasonally it's a good time for precious metals.
Yeah.
All right. So dollar, what are you foreseeing here? It's been weak consistently, and now it seems to have found a bottom, perhaps short term.
Yeah. Well, yesterday when Trump came out and had his tweet, the stock market sold off. And typically when there's fear in the market, we see the dollar rally, we see bonds rally. And that's what rallied yesterday. They came back and posted some gains for the day. I think because we've got uncertainty, we don't know what's going on. We're going to see the dollar probably hold its ground. I'd like to see the dollar move higher, and I'd like to see equities actually cleanse down a little bit lower and for the metals and miners to have a little bit more of a reset, because I think it's going to be a great opportunity going into the end of the year. I think the precious metals could really shine. The dollar, I think, is going to have a little bit of a bounce, but we could see the dollar and metals move up together. We've seen it happen last year and somewhat of this year. And that's just a fear play. Eventually, we're going to probably see the stimulus kick into place, and we're going to see the dollar eventually move lower with all the quantitative easing, the stimulus plans. But the thing is, the U.S. dollar, if you look across the board at all the major stock markets, especially you look at the Eurozone, I mean, they're trading at like 20, they're below prices from 20 years ago. And then you look at the all the other stock markets, the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are clear leaders. That's where your money wants to be. So we're seeing the rest of the world move into U.S. equities. This has been the story for the last several years. But in order to buy those equities, all that money needs to buy the U.S. dollar first and then buy the equities. So we still have a bullish story for the dollar. No matter how much stimulus they do, the rest of the world is converting to U.S. dollars and they want to own the leading stock market, which is the U.S. market at this point. So we still have a bullish story.
Yeah, I talked with Danielle DiMartino Booth yesterday, and she mentioned there's 74 countries whose currencies have basically busted out, and the IMF is bailing them out. And they're becoming more dollar centric. So I keep seeing these stories of de-dollarization. Zero Hedge loves to run them. And the reality, though, I think is something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big concern. The whole currency, I mean, who knows how many issues there are bubbling. Like, I mean, it's pretty easy to focus on the U.S. and the Eurozone, but I mean, there's so many countries and so many issues that we just don't really hear about or that I've looked into, but there's lots under the surface that are crumbling.
Yeah, absolutely. So interest rates, finally, we'll just call that interest rates and oil opinion.
Yeah, well, rates, I mean, you look at the bond market, I can't see bonds going a whole lot higher. Even if the stock market does start to sell off and crash, I mean, I don't think we're going to really see the bond market continue this 30-year rally. I think the trust and the returns just aren't there anymore for bonds. I mean, they're forecasting like a 1.5% loss on the currency over the year. I mean, if you're making 0.5% or 0.75% with your bonds, the interest rates, I mean, you're still losing 1% every year. So you're going backwards. So there really just isn't a whole lot of interest in bonds. There's naturally going to be a move up if there's selling in the stock market, because the general masses are just going to call their advisors and say, you know, put me in bonds. I don't know what to do. Just put me in bonds. So there will be a push and a bump up, but I don't see this bull market in bonds continuing. And I think it's going to be really underperforming going forward here.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. And it's almost, there's only so much debt a market can absorb, I think. What about oil? It's been killed recently, trading for negative prices for a short period of time. Is there any hope for the oil market?
Dirty energy. Not really. I mean, I don't see a whole lot. I mean, you look at the electric car vehicle picking up speed. I mean, it's been in the works for a long time, but now people just don't have to drive much. I mean, there's over 3 years worth of volume stored in every barrel and underground tank they can possibly find in this world. COVID's creeping back. Lockdowns are happening in Europe. There isn't the demand, and there's so much supply, and companies just keep pumping it out because they're trying to sell it to still make money. But really, most of them are making, you know, you're not making much money. If anything, you're losing money pushing it out still at these prices. So I don't see a very optimistic outlook for crude oil going forward in the near future. It's under pressure. The energy stocks for oil have been underperforming. They're the worst. They typically lead and they kind of foreshadow what should happen with crude. So the fact that they're trading lower and lower and lower, and crude's just kind of hanging there on a limb, looking like it's ready to continue lower as well. I mean, it doesn't paint a very bright picture for the price of oil.
All right. I think that about covers it. If you got any questions or comments for Chris, where you think these markets are heading, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Find Chris's site at thetechnicaltraders.com. Always a pleasure, Chris. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yep. Thanks, Kerry. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.